welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Right. Now, Jesus, he's amazing. And I've been thinking about what did he do when he left? What did he leave us to do when he left, I perhaps should say? Because sometimes our focus can be, and I want to just question, is this a good focus? I don't think the answer to this is no straight away. But did he want to get people to join a church? That's an interesting question. And some of you will be thinking no, and some of you will be thinking, well, I would have thought it was yes, but as you've asked it, it's probably no. Did he want people to become members of churches? It's a really interesting question, and as we go through some stuff, I may answer it for you, I may not, but sometimes it's good just to let the word make us think a bit. You know, Jesus was an excellent teacher because he didn't give all the answers. He let people go away and think about stuff. Because if you get all the answers all the time, you don't actually learn it. It doesn't become part of your life. So we're looking at what Jesus was about. Because one thing I will say, if I say, do you want to be a member of this church? It sounds like, you know, come and join the club. And Jesus had something much more noble, something much more exciting, something much more challenging, something much more rewarding in mind. And there's a couple of words we're going to look at, which are amongst his last things that he actually said to his disciples. Now, his disciples were like the 12 men, the wider group, and the women that were with him were like his crack troops. They were the people that he was leaving a pattern for to go and do. So it's interesting, if we're talking about church, what is church? Well, it's a group of people, isn't it? Do you remember? Here's the doors, here's the steeple, open the door, here's all the people. It's the people that are the church. I told you I didn't get much sleep. One of them, interestingly, Chris, is Acts 1:8, which you came and read out. You will receive God's power when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Then you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, the whole of Judea and Samaria, and every part of the earth. This was just about the last thing he said. He didn't say, form a great church, guys. He said, you're going to go out. You're going to do something. You're going to make a difference. But it's so much more exciting than that, because I am going to enable you. Every single person, I will enable you with the Holy Spirit. We might be broken, we might be messed up, we might have come from trouble, we might have come from success. But everyone, when they come to Jesus, can go and make a difference in this world. And I think that's the key thing. But I think church is pretty important, as we'll see. The other real key passage in with Jesus returning to heaven after his resurrection is another one that if you've been around the Christian block for a while, you might even know it off by heart. I had to learn it when I was at university in the discipleship group that I was at. But I'm going to read it from the Truth version, which I don't memorize. So I'll read it from verse 16, but the real bit kicks in a couple of verses. The 11 disciples, because of course Judas is no longer with them, went to the mountain in Galilee where Jesus had instructed them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some still had doubts. To me, that is one of the most encouraging verses in the Bible. Let me just read it again. When they saw him, the resurrected Jesus, they worshipped him, but some still had doubts. This was the elite 11, and they had some doubts. Why is that encouraging? Because I sure do. And I'm in good company. This is what we talk about a lot of the time, that faith is not thinking that you've just got it all sussed and nothing's ever going to be an issue. Faith is overcoming doubt, just as courage is overcoming fear. And there it is, right there, right at the Great Commission. I mean, sometimes we just think, how the heck were they doubting? You know, they'd seen him crucified, and there he is. Hi, guys, I've got holes in the hand and everything now. Yeah. But some still doubted. I don't know, perhaps they doubted what they could do. You know, maybe it was just so, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, I don't think I could be, how can I ever be part of this? Ah, that is a lot like us. How can I ever? You know, I know what I'm like. I know what I do. I know what I do. And Jesus still commissioned these 11 as he still commissioned you. Come on, this is for the church today. The church, it's the time of sitting in pews and having a nice service and going home and having a roast dinner is over. I mean, most of us, we don't even have time to get a roast dinner on our Sundays these days, do we? You know, roast dinner is a terrible choice for a Sunday. It's our busiest day of the week. Or it should be, really. This is what we're called to. You know? It's funny that the day of rest is the busiest day. Anyway, Jesus told them, all heavenly and earthly authority has been given to me. That's a pretty good authority. Everything in heaven and everything on earth. We say to the street angels when we're training them for the streets, and I remember talking to the Whitby street angels at one time, you know, because they were struggling when the night marshals were stopping. Did they have authority? And we said to them, well, you have the authority of the town council, you have the authority of the police, but Jesus says to you, you have all authority in heaven and on earth. You have the authority to take action in that nighttime economy. You know, that's a pretty good thing to remember. But it's not just for street angels, it's for every day. We have authority. We can take action. We are commissioned to take action. So, with this authority, Jesus says to them, so now I tell you to go and make disciples in every nation. I love it that we're part of a church where people go literally to the nations. And people have got a passion to go to the nations. One thing that's absolutely certain is we won't be the same group of people sitting here in 10 years' time. Because so many will be out on the mission field, and there'll be a whole new bunch of people that have come in that are being trained to be on the mission field. Not that we're all going to go out there and permanently live out there, but there's an awful lot of short trips coming, I tell you.
That's good.
Just ask Hannah Daniels. Now, I tell you to go and make disciples in every nation, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptize means to immerse. Immerse them in everything of the Holy Trinity. All right, it doesn't just mean dunk them. It meant immerse them in everything that I've told you. Everything that I've given to you, let them be saturated in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Who's going to do that? These ones that are doubting. Do you ever felt like, oh, fuck, you're in good company. There you are with Peter. There you are with Matthew. There you are with John. You're one of them. I was a doubter. I've been chosen. Sometimes it's I'm still a doubter. I've been chosen. I doubt, but I move on. So what does that show? You have faith. Your mind's screaming out, oh, but you take another step because you've got faith. It doesn't matter what your mind says. It's what you're doing that shows whether you're operating. To me, that's such encouragement because sometimes there's so many struggles going on in here about, oh, you know, but all I know is, well, if I'm doing this, that's what I actually believe because otherwise I'd be going that way. You know, sometimes I have to teach myself, you know, listen to what your body's doing. It's because the spirit is commanding and walking with your body and the mind's getting in the way a bit. Right, here we are. I love this scripture. I mean, you've probably heard, I don't know how many sermons on this one, haven't you? But anyway, what does he say after baptizing them? The same thing, really, in a different way. Teach them to obey all that I have taught and commanded you, and be assured of this, I am always present with you until the very end of the age. The first verse we read, which was a little bit after this, he promised the Holy Spirit. Here he says, I will always be with you. Once you know Jesus, once you join the adventure, you will never be alone again. That's good news. You might doubt it, but the truth is, you will never be alone again. If we just put everything else of the good news, the gospel of Jesus, to one side and just said, you'll never be alone again, that would be enough, really, to respond to him, wouldn't it? Now, this was all by way of an introduction, because what we're getting then is Jesus actually in this place is definitely not talking about church. Now, the problem, if you talk about building in church members, is you immediately start thinking rules and regulations. And if there was one man of God who was God, that didn't major on regulations, it was Jesus. All right, he kept saying it's what's in the heart. He'd highlight rules that were in the society, like do not commit adultery, and then say, but I say to you, if you look at a woman lustfully, you're already committing adultery. It was more about getting the heart changed to focus on love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, than trying to follow a list of rules and regulations. Because if we just follow rules and regulations, what we ought to do, we end up with a very boring Christian religion, really. And that's why Jesus didn't invent that. He invented relationship and an adventure. He invented excitement. He invented a people who are discovering who they really are, which is way, 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 way beyond what they ever thought they were. He invented people who, at 80 years old, can set off on a brand new adventure because the call of God is on their life. Hallelujah. You're never too old to work for God. You're never too old to live the life of God. Amen. He will keep you on full steam ahead until the day they put you in a box, hopefully after you've died. We do have some boxes downstairs, but that's not what they're for. So, he's talking about not church members, but disciples, isn't he? So let's look. This was where Jared came in, because he was just questioning what were disciples, what this adventure was of following Jesus. All right? Jesus has done everything for us, but we do follow. We do walk after him. He said, come, follow me. So there is a response. We still make a choice every day. Yes, Jesus. Because every day we could still say, yes, the world. I'll do my own thing. It's a choice every day. And Jesus will never, ever take that choice away from you. Because he died to give you freedom. And if there was no choice, there would be no freedom. You can choose to live exactly how you like. We can never point a finger at the world and say, really, because God gave them the choice. He gave them the choice to repent and come and follow after me. This is the way of Jesus. He did. But that's that person's responsibility. It's not our responsibility to judge them. That's between them and God. We can just show them God's love, God's care, and God's plan for their amazing life in him. Hallelujah. Now, so what I've got is some words. So if you're making notes, this is really easy this week because you're just going to get, I don't know how many, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 words. Don't panic. There's not 15 minutes in every word. You're safe. Right. The first one, this is a favourite of mine, I use this a lot. So if it's not just about church members, then it's about discipleship, and we've got 8 words on discipleship. They're all able words. That's good, isn't it? This one's always been a favourite of mine. It's the word available. Because, I don't know, probably since I was a student, I've always said there's only one. You can't do anything to Jesus. You can't do anything for him. It's him working for you, through you. But there is one ability that you need. Availability. Yes, yeah, I've obviously said it before. You know, the example was there right at the very beginning with what I just said, come, follow me. Those disciples gave up their lives. Some were fishermen, some were tax collectors, political activists, bordering on terrorists. So, they gave up their plans and went with Jesus. Must have been a massive decision to give up a prosperous family business on Lake Galilee. I mean, later on, a few of them almost went back to it, didn't they? And Jesus stood on the shore and cooked a barbecue of fish, and you know, after his resurrection. Because that's what you do when you're the king of heaven. Cook a barbecue. And he called them over and he recommissioned them, really, because they'd lost the plot a bit and just gone back to what they'd known most of their lives. But Jesus understands. If you've ever gone back to, or maybe right at this moment, you've gone back to something less than the call of God on your life. What's Jesus going to do with you? Is he going to point a finger? No, he's going to cook you a barbecue and say, do you want some fish? And he'll let you be re-energized by his presence. Because that's Jesus. He never goes, you, and you are sinners. He says, repent, which means change your mind. Believe in me instead of yourself, and come follow me. You coming? But a lot of people think he's going, you got it wrong. But it's not Jesus. Some of his followers sometimes. So they gave up their plans. I mean, one of them, I don't think he ever gave it up completely, because he always talks about the healings, but one of them, of the gospel that I seem to speak from a lot, Dr. Luke, you know, he gave that up. He wasn't one of the original disciples, but he's involved in lots of the missions in Acts and stuff like that. So he certainly couldn't have been doctoring all the time. I know another doctor like that. Has to give up that because he has to go on mission. Maybe you write a gospel sometime, but don't, because that would be dodgy. So it's not necessarily about giving up your whole career, but it is about having a focus, and it's about making space in your life for mission. And it takes a repentance, a metanoia, a mind change to do that, because we're not trained to think like that. All through school, and probably most of you went, all through school, there's nothing in there about making your life available, is there, for Jesus? So it's been trained out of you, and we have to get it back in there and realize, actually, this is our first purpose. This is where we will find the most satisfaction. I'll let you into a secret. It's sometimes where you also find the most frustration. But you will, because you're going to deal with people. And sometimes people can be annoying, can't they? Anyone ever been annoyed by someone? It only ever shows what's in us, really. We can't really blame the other person, but that just makes me even crosser. That person is objectionable, but it's only revealing what's in me. That's not fair. Now, another thing we need, as well as availability, in our list of eight, is to be, so we've got available, we need to be teachable. This is so essential. And you'll find that people, well, particularly people my age, 22, 50, people my age, we've had a lifetime of learning, and we can get pretty set in our ways. But, you know, we need to be, until that box time, we need to be teachable, because God has always got, he says, see, I'm doing a new thing. The amazing thing about God is he says, I never change. I'm always doing a new thing. How can they both be true? Because God is so enormous, it's all there already. And to us, it just seems like a new thing. You know, it's just something new coming from God. I'm 50, but there's something new. I'm going to learn how to worship God in a new way. I'm going to discover a whole new revelation in Scripture. I'm going to find a whole new vision and passion in my life for an area I've never had any interest in before. You know, this is God. If you let him work in you, and this is what will give your life purpose and direction and excitement and adventure. But the problem with the adventures is they're very dangerous and you can miss lunch. Tell me about it, says Kate. No. So we've got to be teachable, because it's there again, it's at the beginning. Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He's going to show them, he's going to teach them, he's going to equip them. And teaching is there from the beginning. Always allow yourself to be taught. Sometimes people refer to it as having a teachable spirit. It's so frustrating to be working with someone and they just don't have a teachable spirit. They've made their mind up. Always be open to what God is doing. Sometimes we don't have an open mind because we're afraid somebody might change it. But let's let the Holy Spirit change our minds regularly, or we'll never discover the new things of God. We haven't got everything of God here. That's for sure, have we? Don't you want more? Anyway, so disciples of teachers. But here's a couple of questions. What are you learning right now? And if the answer is, I don't know, then sort it. Because you're a disciple. What are you changing? Right, the next one, available, teachable, breakable. Not like in a shop, you know, where there's a notice if you break anything, you've got to pay for it. But breakable means that God, you are ready to allow God to do deep works. All right? Peter, poor Peter. He's got so many stories of being broken. You know, I could walk on water with you, Jesus. Glug, 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 glug. How embarrassing. You know, there's even one time where he starts to spout off on something that sounds pretty good, to be honest. And then Jesus turns to him and says, get behind me, Satan. So out of line is what Peter is saying, that Jesus comes out with that. I mean, that must have been a pretty hefty retort from the Son of God. You know, get behind me, Satan. Don't divert me, Jesus was saying, from the purpose God has got for me. That is so wrong, mate. I don't know if Jesus ever really said mate, but, you know. Get behind me. That would have broken him. What about the denying? You're going to deny me 3 times. No, I'll never deny you. By the time the crocs closed, the clock crowed? You know what I mean. 3 times. You would have denied me 3 times. No. And he did. That would have done something in him. It's deeply humbling stuff. But it's because when we're broken, it roots out pride. And the problem with pride is Scripture says pride comes before a fall. So if God was unloving, he wouldn't deal with it. Because pride does bring destruction. Pride makes you unfruitful. So God breaks us. And so we've got to allow God to do that. So rejection, failure, being overlooked, being unrecognized, it makes you beautiful. If you're sitting there and you've been through rejection and failure and being overlooked and being unrecognized, know that Jesus is making you beautiful. Because he's dealt with anything in your life that would have spoilt your life. And he's bringing you to flourish into fullness. It's not a bad thing when you go through these things. It's not nice going through them. But the other side is awesome. The sun really is shining at the end of the tunnel. All right. You know, it's the classic biblical picture of the potter at the wheel. You know, if you look at the end product, and they're a good potter, and God's a good potter, you see this fantastic piece of pottery that they've made on the wheel, don't you? Wow, I wish I could make something like that. What you didn't see was them scoop into the clay and go slam onto the wheel and then sort of knead it on there and shape it and push it. That's what we go through because we're called to be beautiful. Sometimes you just got to get thrown, slam onto the wheel. Just God. Now this is one of Jared's words, and it doesn't really exist in the English language, but we'll use it anyway. Graceable. Never heard that one before. It's about allowing God's grace to flow through you, because we can do all things in his strength. So a disciple lets God do it. Disciples set sails and let the wind of God take it. And disciples know that when a storm comes, we're just going to go faster, because it's a stronger wind. That's the grace of God, letting God take you through it. And some of you, it's like the doubters, when Jesus first gave that great commission, we doubt we can be used by God or that God could work through us. You are in the best position ever. That is a position of strength because you can say, God, do this through me. The worst thing to get to is where you think you can do it. We got this coming up, and we've got an awesome, fantastic, brilliant worship team, haven't we? We've got a great bookshop team. We've got great stewards. It's awesome teams. But if any of them ever thought we can do this now, it would be the worst we've ever had. Right. We can't do it.
Right.
We need to acknowledge, God, you come and do this through us.
Amen, amen.
Worship team have the greatest struggle because they're up front, so they have the greatest battle with pride. You know, it's easy to feel, we've done this twice now. We're going to be great. We know what we're doing. Don't think like that. Don't think like that. Because the glory would go to you instead of God. And it won't go the places. Whenever we think, I can't do this, we're in a strong place. Graceable. 4 more. Ready? Correctable.
Ooh.
Who wants to be correctable? You are a brave person. Oh, it's Sue. Yeah. But actually, if you want to be a disciple, you want to be correctable. You want to be someone who can be corrected. Why do you want to go around with something that's wrong? Would it really have done you any good in those, you know, junior school spelling tests when you wrote down your 20 words? Did you do that? I had to do that. And every time the teacher just marked all 20 to correct because she didn't want to upset you. You'd never learn anything. In fact, it'd be worse. You'd be totally deceived in thinking you were an awesome speller. I'm going to write a book, and everybody gets your book and says, I can't read it. And you're thinking, it's awesome. I wrote that. You can't read it. Didn't anybody tell you that spell? Yeah, got 20 out of 20 every week. So we need to be correctable. Now, the problem with, we live in a society, which is a good thing, of building people up and self-esteem. I'm not saying that that's wrong. But you can get so hooked on approval that when someone speaks correction or discipline to you, we think it's rejection. It's not, it's correction. So I won't get you to put hands up this time because it's embarrassing, but just think, do you want to be correctable? I wince every time I think what the correct answer is, because you think, but we need to be, you know. All of us, including me especially as church leader, you know, I need to, I know it can be hard, because you can think, and I know I can be grumpy sometimes, but we all need to be correctable. Connectable. Which is church membership, and being part of something. It's the body of Christ. Of course it's biblical to be part of a church. But it's more important to be a disciple than part of a church. Jesus was rarely alone, and he was modelling. He used to escape, didn't he, to get some time alone with his Father. But otherwise it seems pretty much he was surrounded by people all the time. You know, occasionally he might get away with just Peter, James and John, but that's still four of you. That's pretty intensive, but it was a model. We actually do need one another. We do need to be connected. Church is friendship, and you can't force it. So sometimes we can make the mistake of saying, you've got to be friends with that person. It's not really going to work. We need to be friendly to one another, but actually we need to pursue friendships. Don't feel bad when you get on well with someone. Enjoy it. I meet Christians who think, well, I get on so well with Jossie, I better not spend any time with him. Because that would just be selfish. Spend time with your friends. Try and make sure your friendships aren't exclusive and cliquey. We don't want no sort of, you know, a little group here and a little group there and never the twain shall meet. Our friendships need to be open and welcoming, just like Jesus was, sure. But treasure friendships. And only you can make friendships. Nobody else can do it for you. You know, if you ever feel like this isn't a friendly church, well, duh. It starts for you. That's good. Only you can be a friend. And then people can be friendly and become friends. I hope, by the grace of God, that today, you, if it's your first time here, that you find it really, really friendly, because we are a friendly bunch and we do our best. But what you really want as you become part of this church is to make good friends. You know? By our life teams used to be more prescriptive and go to this one and go to this one. And I've tried to steer us away from that and say, look, go to whichever group you want. Go and be with your friends. I'm not telling you go there. Go and enjoy your friends. You've got a bunch of eight of you. Come and chat to Adrian and say, we're thinking we could be like a life team and invite our friends and do stuff together and go windsurfing and rock climbing and bike riding. And I'll be thinking, that sounds great, enjoy that one. But and Adrian will say, yeah, that sounds good, go for it. Life team's about being friends. I mean, it's about being church too, and praying together and sharing communion together and sharing meals together. But it's about friendship. Because if there isn't friendship, what is it all about? All right, friends? So, that's connectable. Who do you walk closely with? That's a good question. Because sometimes we forget we need to be doing that. What friendships are you nurturing? Because if it's a true friendship, you'll put more into it than you're getting out of it. The thing is, when you do that, you'll suddenly be getting more out of it because you're putting so much into it, and then it just grows. So many people want to blame others when actually it's you. I mean, there are times when we're totally broken and lying on the floor, metaphorically speaking, and You know, we just need people to carry us. I'm not talking about those times. I'm just talking about normally. Friends. Yes, Elizabeth. The friendships that you have, are they healthy? Are they calling you higher? If it's calling you lower, is it a good friendship? And I mean friendships in church and out of church when I say this as well. Because the best way to show people that Jesus loves them is to be a good friend. Are we not friends of Jesus? Church is relationship, not meetings. Meetings, we need them, because we wouldn't be hearing this if we weren't in a meeting. And it's about being connectable in a big group. But within that group, we're going to have different friendships. Hopefully across social class and gender and ages and everything. I love it when we do the Cavern Club on Fridays, second and fourth Friday every month. When the Cavern Club, which is mostly aimed at those who know what the original Cavern Club was, the Beatles thing, when we have a bunch of the young guys under 30s also come, because it's cross-generational friendships. And there's so much you can gain from those. Both directions. Got to be connectable. Two more? You're so nice. It would be embarrassing if you said, no, I've had enough, thanks. I'm glad you're being friendly. So, after connectable, this was another one of Jared's ones that I pinched, and it's definitely a Jared word, because I don't believe this is in any dictionary. This one is sendable. Yeah. Jesus said go. We've covered it a lot, haven't we? It's church connections, world connections. Here's a question for you. Where are you going? Jesus said go. Where are you going? Hey, it's easy for me. I cheat a bit because I got sent here, so I'm in the going. But that, even that's a cop-out. I still need to know, where am I going next? You know? Sometimes it's just, well, I'm going to the hub. It's a Wednesday afternoon. I'll go to the hub and I'll have a cup of coffee and I'll chat to anyone that's there. Yeah? Because it might be someone who's part of the church. It might be someone that's just come in for a cup of coffee. And you just meet some people and have a chat. You might share Jesus. You might not. You mustn't artificially try and shoehorn him into the conversation, or you're just, I'm not going there again. But you'd be surprised how often he comes up when you're sitting here. I had a good question the other day. Why haven't you got any crosses? And I thought, oh. I got one on my front windowsill at home. Does that count? All right, that's sendable. Here's the last one. Oh, no, I haven't quite finished sendable. Where are you going? Here's another one, if you're going for the questions. Or maybe you're listening on the podcast and you're scribbling them down. So here's another one for you on the podcast. Who is going with you? That's connecting again. Because we don't really go alone, ever. Jesus sent the disciples out in twos and threes. It's not good to go alone. Sometimes we have to on some mission trips and things, but who are you going with? Who's going with you? And is that working out for you? Or does something need to change? Who's on the journey with you? And is that good? And finally, a bit of a cheat, because the others are all labeled, but this one is responsible. Which, if you're a good speller, it starts with an I. But it still sounds the same. Responsible. We need to be, disciples are responsible. And it's a bit of a cheeky way of using the word as well, because what I mean by responsible is that we respond to God's word. We hear the word of God and we do it. We take some action. That's faith, of course. But also, if you hear God's word and you don't ever do anything with it, you just end up deceived. You're just like eating and 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 eating, you just get constipated. All right? You can do that with God's word. If you just eat and 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 eat, you'll get fat and uncomfortable. Even though it's God's word. It has to be worked out. Then it becomes a blessing. Worse, you can even be deceived because you don't see that word coming into place in your life. So you end up sort of thinking, is that even true? You know? Anyway, responsible. You don't expect somebody else to do for it. That's responsibility. We need to be responsible. and take responsibility for what God has called us to, what God has called us to do, and what's my part in the big picture of going? What's my part in church? Fantastic church. There's so many people involved in so much stuff. It's awesome. You know, if you've ever been anywhere and thought, I wish I could get involved, come and see me. Ah, there's so much you can be involved in here. There's so many. I lose track of what's going on, I must admit, because there's somebody started something new. And there's so many things just happening and people's lives getting touched. Right. Each disciple is responsible. Each disciple makes their own choice, their own response. That's what a disciple does. So, church members or disciples? The answer is yes. Both, some of you said. That's a good answer as well. Yes. The answer is yes. It's both. Being a church member is part of being a disciple. There's no pattern in the Gospels for a go-it-aloneer. People were always sent out from a fellowship, even when they went on mission. Even St. Paul, who we'd think was pretty, you know, important and knew what he was doing, he usually had a team with him. Maybe that team might be one person, but he usually had a team with him. And he'd usually connect with a team wherever he went, and he was always sent from a church, usually Antioch. And that was Paul. So how can people believe today that I don't need to be part of a fellowship? Of course you do. Where else are you going to be, learn to be, available, teachable, breakable, graceable, correctable, connectable, sendable, and responsible? You can only do it with others. And hopefully, God puts you in with a bunch that you can do it together good. Amen? Hallelujah. Shall I do the words once more? Just to finish. Are you ready? Did you say faster? You're just naughty. Available, teachable, breakable, graceable, correctable, connectable, sendable, responsible.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.